Well, Mrs. Heller, I can vouch for Eddie. He's definitely your man. And he's cheap, too.
Just 10 cents an hour, which is good value, but with all the frivolity I provide.
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 583 for the week of October 6, 2025. I am Milky Handwash David T. Cole, and I'm here with Murder House Auctioneer Sarah D. Bunting.
Make me an offer.
Local Jezebel Tar Ariano.
It's pronounced Adeline.
And Tony Perkins Truther Richard Lawson.
Gays are demons.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Welcome to Extra Hot Great for another week. Joining us, he is a film critic you have lately read at The Guardian, The Hollywood Reporter, and Rolling Stone. You have also heard him recently on the Ask Ronna and Brian podcast. It's Richard Lawson!
Yay!
Welcome back,
Richard!
Hey, guys. Nice to be here.
Oh, it's Eddie. Hi, Ed. This is Eddie. I'm the fun version of you.
My balls are all blue.
That was so gross when you had to talk about sex in that voice. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to give a blanket content warning up top for the show we're about to discuss, which is
Monster.
Can
you do it in the Ed Gein voice?
I can do it in the Ed Gein voice. Of course I can. We're going to have lots of frivolity. If the name Ed Gein means nothing to you, just trust us when we say, don't listen to this one with your children in the car. Just fast forward for, you know, a little while. Mm-hmm. Monster, the Ed Gein story, is the latest season of the Monster anthology series on Netflix. In this one, Ed Gein, played by Charlie Hunnam, is a farmer who lives with his mother, Augusta, Laurie Metcalf, outside Plainfield, Wisconsin. When he thinks he's in private, however, Ed likes to do things such as put on his mother's lingerie to jerk off or indulge in detailed fantasies about Ilsa Koch, Vicky Creeps, the bitch of Buchenwald. Ed also definitely kills at least two people and maybe kills several others because this is a Ryan Murphy show inspired by a true story, but with a lot of embroidery. This season was all written by frequent Murphy collaborator Ian Brennan and mostly directed by Max Winkler, other than the fourth and fifth episodes, which Brennan directed as well. Let's do the Chen check-in. Richard, should our listeners watch Monster, the Ed Gein story?
I mean, if they want to be miserable for 8 hours, sure. Otherwise, no.
Sarah.
No.
Dave.
To stop those monsters, 1, 2, 3. Here's a fresh new way that's trouble-free. It's got Paul Anka's guarantee.
Guarantee void in Tennessee. Just out luck, just out luck.
It's a no for me, dog. Let's get into it. Richard, you nailed it this weekend when you posted on Blue Sky. Let me hire all my favorite actresses and allow the space to give the worst performances of their careers, Ryan Murphy.
That was tweeted or skeeted or whatever at like probably the nadir of some Laurie Metcalf scene that I was just like, well, a brilliant actress. I've seen her on stage a bunch. She's really incredible and is just so bad in this show.
Yeah. One of my first notes is Laurie Metcalf. No, you were in Steppenwolf. And so was Rondi Reed, who also shows up later to play Mary Hogan. Should Ryan Murphy be stopped from doing this? Let's start there, Richard.
Yeah, I think he needs to, if he wants to go keep going down this path, he either needs to find stuff that actually bears up against the kind of sociological analysis he's attempting to do, or Ian Brennan is attempting to do, or just admit that he just wants to show scary murder stuff and just, you know, get rid of all the trappings of, like, you know, grand meaning, because he's really reaching in this one in a way that just, it's kind of, I don't know, it's a little embarrassing almost.
Talk about the reaching, because our listeners may not have watched this and shouldn't, so elaborate on that a little bit.
The interesting sort of premise behind the show, which, you know, is persuasively argued, is that, like, Ed Gein, you know, this post-war serial killer, grave robber guy, captured the attention of a different America, sort of rocked by war. Darkness had descended on the land and thus inspired the novel that became the movie Psycho, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Silence of the Lambs. Ed Gein, in a hideous way, is a major cultural figure of the 20th century. That's interesting. But where the show goes past that into this kind of thing about, like, gender identity and queer longing and just all this other stuff that just feels really forced. Like with a lot of Ryan Murphy things or Ryan Murphy produced things, I just kind of have to firmly say, I don't agree with you. And I think you are wrong.
Yeah. I mean, Sarah, you reviewed this for Best Evans as well. And you sort of said the same thing where it's like, it's trying to do too much, but it's also not doing enough.
I led with a screenshot of Ed Gein reading a True Detective magazine, and there's a school of thought which did not originate with Ian Brennan or Murphy or anyone in this sector of the narrative that these sort of torture porn or torture porn adjacent magazines of the mid-century did a lot to sort of force multiply tendencies in serial killers, not just Gein, who, quote, only killed two people. So that is gestured at. The idea that he may have had a traumatic brain injury based on childhood abuse, gestured at. And then the idea that we, the consumer public, are the monsters for caring about this stuff that Brennan has extremely carefully set designed to revolting effect, that is gestured at. But then none of them is followed through sufficiently. And the problem with using this case to try to reach some larger grand cultural meaning, like Richard referred to, is that at the end of the day, everyone is fascinated by it because he dug up graves and fucked corpses. And like, it's a human instinct to be morbidly fascinated by that. But there's not really a whole lot of story there. Like, what can we conclude from this? Like, well, boyfriend was real fucked up. That's a 12-minute short, and then we can all go back to our lives. But this was, like a lot of Murphy verse projects, like, it just really ran out of steam, and the Murphy verse is like too powerful and reliable as a moneymaker to be pushed back on about this stuff narratively. Mm-hmm. And that's what needed to happen. Someone needed to be like, this is 83 minutes.
Yeah.
Enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a 2-pound show and a 10-pound bag. And the other 8 pounds he's trying to fill with trying to do a follow-up to that Hollywood show.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much about what should be a footnote to the story, which is Ed Gein was the inspiration behind all these horror films of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And it is a third of the show. Like, it is a lot mm-hmm. of the show, maybe more than that. Like, and not just like a peek into how he inspired it, but it's like going a level deeper and further away into the making of these productions. Psycho is the first one we see in the series. Beautifully mm-hmm. shot, but it just felt so overstuffed and so anemic when it came to the actual subject matter in the title. Mm-hmm.
You know who's not anemic is Charlie Hunnam as Ed Gein, much like Evan Peters in the Dahmer season of the Monster Anthology. These two like hunky guys who are constantly shot shirtless as if to like, we're supposed to be attracted to them. And it's like, what are you saying here? Why is this happening?
It's all the calories I burn milking the cow.
Well, yeah, we see Ed like completely nude, like 5 minutes into the first episode, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Standing in front mm-hmm. of his mother as punishment for jerking off, that scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know how it goes.
Yeah. Normal stuff. Is Charlie Hunnam good? Richard, he definitely makes a big choice with the voice, but what did you think of the rest of his performance?
Yeah, what's the old joke? If there was an Emmy for most acting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I tend to be skeptical when someone is doing something like that. I'm like, well, surely that's not what they sounded like. And then I'll go like actually watch or listen to audio of said person. And it's like, oh, wow, they really nailed it. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what was going to happen with Ed Gein. So after I was done with the show, I went on YouTube and there is a little bit of audio recording of him from his first, I think, police interrogation. He doesn't sound like that at all.
No, he
that's
doesn't.
Not his voice. Where did that come from?
Wow.
It feels very 80s. I have a disease acting.
Uh-huh.
And it feels very performative in the same way.
Yeah, you never go full Gein.
No, there was a documentary. It was called The Ed Gein Tapes, and not even close. And the accent is like all over the prairie.
I'm just a dude playing a dude, just playing another dude.
Yes. His brother doesn't sound anything like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No.
You also, I mean, to get back to the ladies who have been compromised by this project, Leslie Manville also appears later, Richard. Talk about
what happens to her. Yeah, she sure does. I love Leslie Manville. I love Leslie Manville when she goes kind of campy. Have you ever seen Let Him Go, the Diane Lane, Kevin Costner movie where she's the villain?
No.
She has a great, it's from like 2020. She has a great last line in the movie that's just way over the top, but it's really fun. I didn't find this fun. I found it kind of depressing because Manville is a great actor who just fell into that Murphyverse trap of like more, just go big, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe she's trying to match the energy of Hunnam. She's like, all right, he's doing something crazy, so I guess I will too.
Yeah.
But it just made me sad. I mean, you know, the character's fate is sad, but I also think kind of Manville's fate in the show is sad.
Mm-hmm. I liked her performance. I mean, Hunnam's, I can't really even, like, yeah, there was a lot of it. You know, it's terrible in such large portions. Mm-hmm. But I think we can't even judge it because this figure historically is like, you know, it just blots out any nuance. Even if there were any nuance in the performance, you wouldn't really notice it.
Yeah.
Manville's performance I found more affecting. I thought occasionally there were nice moments for the performers, but they weren't given adequate direction. They were just thrown into this completely over the top 170 decibel story and left to try to make their mark in it somehow. And most of them went with spittily screaming, and I don't, like, I almost can't blame the actors for any choices that they made, because I just feel like Brennan did not and Winkler did not guide them at all.
Mm-hmm. No. It was very Harold Zoid Futurama production. You in the background, wave your arms.
I think Susanna Sun, who plays, you know, a kind of girlfriend-ish of Ed, and that it's based on a real person, but her level of relationship with Ed Gein is not really known for sure. Mm-hmm. But this show really amps up her presence in his life, whether or not part of that is fantasy existing only in Gein's head. We don't really know.
Right.
But I think that the performance is interesting, even if I find that character totally illegible. Mm-hmm.
Same. I thought she was good, given that I found the character, like, it bears almost no relationship to anything we actually know. Mm-hmm. We're spending too much time with her. And as I wrote in my review, like, this weird Nellie Olson Wednesday Addams hybrid is disconcerting at best. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're in New York City and Ouija, played by Elliot Gould, is insulting her. Like, what? Seriously, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Tell me what we're doing. I just want to know what we're doing so that I can stop doing it because this is 8 hours too long.
Sounds like it's sort of like the true crime horror salad bar where you can just like pick little things and together when you have to put everything on your plate at once. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's just Ryan Murphy emptying out his drunk drawer. And be like, Ian, can you make something out of this?
Yeah.
We can probably stop there, but I'll just add as a footnote, while researching this, I found out that Charlie Hunnam auditioned for Dawson's Creek to play Dawson. That's wow. Where he met his first wife.
Hey, Joey, you want to come climb up my window?
Amistad is underrated.
I want to be your boy adventure.
Oh, God.
Time for a lot of shows. It's a great time for shows.
Wait. It is time for Around the Dial. Tara, you are up first. What do you got first?
Play clip one.
In Toronto's war on crime, the worst offenders are pursued by the detectives of the Specialized Criminal Investigations Unit. These are their stories.
I'm pretty sure Toronto's war on crime is mostly focused on bike theft rings. Like, I don't know what this show thinks it's doing, but...
Is that just the YouTube video or is that bad?
No, that's the version of the episode from the CW.TV.
Wow.
Yes. It's Wikipedia says that actually is Law & Order series narrator Steven Zernkilton, but it sounds like AI to me. It's very bad.
Totally sounds like AI. Yeah.
Anywho, Law & Order Toronto : Criminal Intent premiered in Canada in February 2024. It became the year's number one primetime drama of 2024 in Canada, I assume, asterisk, Canadian produced. But now it's been imported by the CW. It has already outdone the network's attempted import of Taskmaster in that two episodes have aired. And as far as I have seen, it's going to air more. It stars precisely one guy I have ever heard of, Aidan Young, a real Canadian who formerly starred in Rectify. Here he's the Vincent D'Onofrio character. Mm-hmm. And hearing that know-it-all-liness delivered in a thick Canadian accent is hilarious. He's definitely sounding like he is from Edmonton.
Tea, follow maple syrup's gone.
Basically. Yeah. This version was created by Tassie Cameron. Her mother is Stevie Cameron, who was a crime reporter at the Globe and Mail. Tassie wrote on Degrassi, The Next Generation. Then she adapted the Margaret Atwood novel, The Robber Bride, as a TV movie. So basically,
wow,
this is the most Canadian we have. And she has made the show we would expect her to in Canada. Let's hear clip two.
How rich am I going to get?
How rich do you want, Arlene? You want a champagne fountain, private island in Muskoka? A little four-seater Cessna to get you there in style?
Yeah!
Private island in Muskoka.
Muskoka.
Let's all celebrate with a coffee, Chris.
Exactly. Before we get on the yacht, I got to stop and get my Timmies. Anyway, if you don't know why that's adorable or anything about local Toronto references, this show is probably going to bore you a lot. Mm-hmm. But if you need a Wednesday night procedural and you never got into the one Chicago shows, Law and Order Toronto : Criminal Intent is here for you on the CW and then later on the app. There are 20 episodes so far. I'm pretty sure they're going to make more. So that was my joy of the weekend, was dipping into that, hearing Muskoka referenced.
Mean streets of Toronto.
How many murders are at the Degrassi Community School?
So far, none, but there's only been two episodes. The first one it was on a boat. Someone gets pushed off a boat. Mm-hmm. They're going back and forth between Toronto and Toronto Island, of course.
Sure.
And in the second episode, it's at an apartment complex that I'm pretty sure is like in our old neighborhood on Delaware.
Oh, really?
Or near there. Like, okay. I think we looked at houses around there when we were shopping for houses.
What other locations? Okay, first, CN Tower stairwell.
Of course,
right? The one where they do the charity thing. It takes people like 5 hours to go up the CN Tower stairwell. Yep. Somebody dies during that.
Mm-hmm. Casa Loma.
Casa Loma Hockey Hall of Fame.
Someone gets pushed down the long escalator at Scotiabank.
Yeah.
Yes. Queen's Quay. Wall of Cheese. Mm-hmm, is that still a thing?
I mean, they produce it for City TV, so if Speaker's Corner is still open, someone should get murdered in Speaker's Corner.
I think that's gone a long time ago. Probably. But that would have been that'll be a throwback episode. That'll be like the start of the current murder investigation that started in 89 somehow. Yeah. Anyways, this has been Canada Corner.
Scatabush.
For my plug, this is not Canadian at all, really, but Sarah already plugged the Patreon for our sister podcast again with this last week, so I will plug the Patreon for our sister podcast, Listen to Sassy. You can join the Listen to Sassy Club for just $5 a month. That gets you full issue PDF scans of every single episode of Sassy, every page, including all of the ads, stuff we never talk about on the podcast. So it's, you know, if you're a magazine psycho like me, it's really worth your $5, I would say. So listen to sassy.com/club for that. And of course, also the podcast, which is a joy to produce.
I have a quick pitch. I haven't really fleshed it out, but there's an officer in the RCMP called Ruffle. Mm-hmm. And he only fights crime in his full Mountie uniform and is called Ruffles All Dressed.
Nice.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right, Richard, what have you been watching recently? Honestly, we could stop right now and just talk about stupid Canadian TV ideas for the next hour. I'd be really happy, but we have planned.
Thank you for tolerating that, Richard. Proceed.
Richard, what have you been watching that people need to know about?
Well, from a Commonwealth country to the actual UK, I have been watching the latest series, not season, of Only Connect, the wonderful quiz show hosted by Victoria Coren Mitchell, who I find quite charming. We are about halfway through this series, which means that we're now like kind of in round two. So the people who won in round one are now going against each other. And we are just at that sweet spot where the questions are hard enough that when you get them right, you feel smart. In a couple episodes more, they'll be so hard that I feel like a complete idiot for the rest of the season. But right now, it's really, really hitting. I don't know if any of you have watched the show. It's mostly on YouTube. That's how I watch it. There is one very dedicated YouTuber who I don't want to name out loud because I'm worried that, like, the YouTube gods will somehow descend upon this person and take all their videos away.
Yeah.
But if you just search for Only Connect on YouTube, you can find it. We're in series 21, but there are a lot of past series on YouTube. So I've been also delving into those, and it's been very fun.
Did that include the one where she's begging on the New York Times version of it?
It does indeed. I saw that episode recently. It was very funny. And she actually kind of took it easy on them because the New York Times copied the connections, the sort of board where you have to group things together in groups of four. I remember her tweeting about that when New York Times launched that part of their games app. And she was like, we've been doing a show for 15 years that does exactly that, guys. Anyway, Only Connect. It's really great. Feel smart and then feel dumb. That's the arc of every season.
Or, as I like to call it, game time.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. It's a good preview for game time. And plugs-wise, as Tara mentioned, I have been writing for The Guardian, for Hollywood Reporter. At Hollywood Reporter, I have a review of One Battle After Another, the great Paul Thomas Anderson film. And then in The Guardian, this week, I have a write-up of Monster, the Ed Gein story. As you can tell from what I just said, it's a really positive write-up. Lots of nice things to say about the show. So yeah, go find that at theguardian.com.
4 stars.
We don't have the direct link here, but we'll link to your author page. So by the time this episode populates, it'll be there.
Perfect.
Sarah D. Bunting, what do you have to talk about? And where is this show located, please?
Space!
Wow, what's happening?
I cannot really say that we enjoyed the third season of Strange New Worlds, except the Everyone is a Vulcan episode, which made us laugh very hard many times. And we almost like just went back to the beginning of it to watch it again because it was very funny.
Yep.
But overall, the season just seemed inconsistent. Stories siloed off, like everyone siloed off from the group. Derivative episodes that dragged, like we already had an enemy mine and it wasn't that good that we needed Erica's version with the lonely, hey there, lonely Gorn.
Totally.
And as glad as I am that the writers finally realized that Marie Battelle is not awesome, that ending was also derivative. Like, we already have Jacob's Ladder and the 6 Feet Under finale, but I read somewhere that a lot of the season's issues might have been down to scheduling problems with various cast members. That's 100% how it felt. Also, justice for Nurse Chapel's hair. What the fuck happened? It was perfect. Then it was low flow. I will say, like, we never considered quitting. Like, I think this series is sort of like fuck up proof enough that you could sort of live with seasons like this where it's like, oh, someone was off shooting, whatever, at the end of Discovery, or, you know, they got COVID or whatever it is. Like, we like the actors a lot. Mostly, we're not sure we're going to re-up Paramount Plus just for it. But I'm also not sure that we want to commit to Discovery because that was recommended to us by a friend at a dinner party.
No.
Recently, rest of the panel, any thoughts on what we should do?
It's terrible.
Okay.
We quit before it ended.
Yeah.
I think we quit before this.
If somebody recommends Picard, you can skip that one.
Oh, no, I
we talked about.
Oh,
that's
right.
Skipped.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The Dan's like, what about this? I'm like, nope.
More like crap. Am I right?
Yeah.
More like Picard.
Yeah.
There it is.
Lower Decks is fun.
Yeah, Lower Decks is
fun. We might do that. We like that crossover from end of season 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like good show. It's sort of like it'll stay afloat for the time that it has left, which is fortunately, I think, limited. So that's a good thing.
I think it's a season and a half.
Are you excited to possibly watch the new Star Trek high school show, Star Trek Academy? It looks terrible.
Has a good cast, though. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm curious, but
maybe.
I am also not optimistic.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you got to plug, Sarah?
Mark and Sarah and Dan Rogge talk about William Joel has returned for another album ranking one-off. That's Mark Blankenship, Dan and I ranking Billy Joel's The Stranger. Some absolutely scandalous things were said about Vienna and the Sears art department. To find out what they are, go to wherever you listen to podcasts and look for Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs. It came out a couple weeks ago. We will link to it in the show notes as well.
All right, here's what's coming up on Extra Extra Hot Great this Friday. We're going to be talking about Boots. I forgot what Boots was.
It is a period dramedy.
About the chemist store from the UK.
That's right.
That's right. Thank you.
It's about a kid from Parenthood enlisting in the Marines secretly gay in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell era. And it was one of the last things that Norman Lear executive produced. It's on Netflix.
All right. That is this Friday. That plus a whole bunch more. And then come back here on EHG Prime 1 week. We're going to be talking about The Chair Company with Alison Herman.
Great pairing.
It is time for the Extra Hot Great Canon. Presenting this week is our guest, Richard. Richard, take it away.
Imagine, if you will, a man who lies. A liar. A big, flamboyant, stupid, aggressive, obnoxious, bogglingly powerful liar. I know it is hard to picture such a person, but please try. Imagine a liar who is maddeningly successful at lying, who is such an obvious liar that the most frustrating thing about him is not the lying itself, but that so many people around him utterly fail to see his lies. Or maybe they do see them, and they have just given in to the inevitability of the liar someday stepping on their necks. They have succumbed to the liar's inexorability. Imagine such a scenario, if it is at all possible for you to do so. And then imagine who abets that liar. Some other man, a feckless and frightened dope, cowed by some grotesque idea of masculinity, desperate to be part of an in-group. He knows the liar is lying to him, and yet he does nothing to assert himself, to wriggle out of the liar's grasp, even when it is entirely within his power to point out the liar and say, "He is a liar, let's stop listening to him." He rejects every opportunity to do that, and instead marches willingly toward his own oblivion at the liar's side. He knows, to quote an old racist who used to run England, that his head is in the tiger's mouth, but he doesn't seem to care, because at least he is close to the tiger for the first time in his sorry life. Imagine this man runs a microbrewery. And so imagine these two coasting on dismayingly smooth rails toward victory at the expense of so many other people, most of them too dumb to get out of the liar's way, but otherwise better, more likable people than the liar and his helpmeet. On and on they glide, seemingly unstoppable. But the liar man and his lackey realize something that most liar men and their lackeys eventually learn. At some point, we ought to blame this all on a woman. Or at the very least, use that woman as a shield, toss her to the angry masses to distract them from our ascent. And so the liar selects a woman to be his scapegoat. And she is a bit awkward and socially inept, and the liar figures she is perfectly manipulatable, that the sheer fact of her womanness means that she will fail to even dimly comprehend his endgame, in which the woman is sacrificed and loses everything. I know it is difficult to imagine this, but you must try, because it has happened at least once. But then, imagine this. Just before the liar can snatch his prize, to be begrudgingly shared with his bearded Igor, his hirsute Renfield, this creature, this woman, does something unexpected. She figures out that the liar and his mule have rigged her parachute, and instead of tumbling to her lonely death, she grabs a hold of the liar and his pal and stares them in the eyes and says, "I'm taking you with me." The liar shrieks and wails, shocked to have been defeated right at the very end, thrashing indignantly at the cosmic unfairness of it all as he plummets toward Earth. The lackey hangs his head in shame and tilts out of the airplane, as was always his sad fate. The liar screams all the way down, while the woman, noble in her loss, wears an expression of contentedness on her stern face. Imagine finally seeing the liar bested like that, so satisfyingly, after so much time spent tearing at one's hair and imploring deaf heavens to finally make the liar's acolytes see that he is, in fact, a liar. Doesn't it give you hope that such things are possible? That at least once in this world, the liar got what was coming to him, got his comeuppance, and his pathetic enabler went down in tears too. Sure, this only happened on The Traitors Australia Season 2, one of the most frustrating seasons of television I've ever watched, with one of the best endings of any season of reality TV I've ever seen. But if it could happen there, where else could it, too?
The most fun I've had in this game was when you guys recruited me. I have had a ball being part of Team Traitor. Like, you were the best players. You planned, you were strategic. And when you recruited me, I knew then your plan was to take me right here. I knew you wanted me because I was a sharer. But if I wasn't going to win, then none of us were going to win.
Thank you, Richard.
Chills. I love that scene so much.
Oh, it's so good. I'll go first. I love when you come on the podcast because we just never know what you're going to pick for your canon pitches, and they're always brilliant. And this is no exception.
I have a hard time imagining the scenario that you set up, but I, you know, I see how it applies to this episode, how a liar can prosper. It's hard to believe, and yet I guess true based on this episode. But I have a question before I get into my response, though. Camille keeps saying, "You recruited me." Is that how it went earlier in the season? Like, did they pick her, or she was, oh, okay. So she was not a production pick. Okay, got it.
To be a patsy the entire time. Yeah.
Okay.
They picked her like mid-late season. Yeah.
Okay. After you picked this, I vaguely remembered that this was an ending that made people mad, and I didn't know the specifics because I hadn't watched it. And there's, even leading up to this, so much to like about the episode, including when the cannon fodder contestants have been disposed of summarily before this big moment with Camille. Sarah and Liam are also, you can tell why they've lasted this long, even without having seen the rest of the season. Like, Liam is just this cockroach of a man, and Sarah is as close to the mom from Colin from Accounts, the girl's mom, that psycho who's like founded an organization of women supporting men, supporting women, or whatever.
Yeah.
The other way around. Sarah is like that. And every time they cut to her making like her thinking face with her pursed lips, I laughed. Like, she's just a very strange woman. But when you get to the end and it really does look like Sam, who is the mastermind of this plan, this Colin Jost looking motherfucker that you just, even not having seen another episode in this whole season, like, I don't want him to win. Blake, I feel neutral on, although imagine he runs a microbrewery. Like, of course he does.
Yep, that's his job.
Blake looks like that guy from Reaper to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Oh,
he does
kind
of look
totally.
Like that guy. But even if you didn't know that, when you see the purple and black sweater, like, of course he runs a microbrewery or a Halloween store, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm neutral on Blake, but I know that he's not going to step out of line. And then when they lay out the scenarios and the only one where no one gets the money, even though you kind of know this has to be what's coming. And as we were going into it, Dave and I were both like, what do you think is going to happen? And we were right that she would, that all three of them would write Steel. It's still so good. Like, it still works so well. It's so satisfying. I feel like, especially when you say the rest of the season was frustrating, I don't have to watch it now because this moment makes all of it worthwhile. Mm-hmm. It's so delicious. And I mean, we didn't clip it, or you didn't clip it, the Sam like hassling Camille, basically, like, why would you do this? Like, how could you ask that? You know why she did it. It's the same reason you were gonna do it to her.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
He's such a piss lord about it too at the end, that you're like, oh, it makes it even more delicious that you walk
away. You don't need
with
the money, you know.
Right.
The frustrating aspect is that Sam is a traitor from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm watching it from home and we see things that the contestants don't. It is so obvious every step of the way that he's a traitor, and no one ever, ever writes his name down. And you're just like tearing your hair out, and then you really think, oh, he just did it. Like, he's one of those evil reality villains who just wins.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't at the very end in the best way, because he totally, totally thought Camille was stupid and was just kind of going to play along with whatever they were lying to her about.
Yes.
And then she didn't.
Yeah. Every part of it is satisfying. Both him like hectoring her after the fact, and then Blake clearly just absolutely shattered, trying not to cry, like not saying anything, hiding
and
his
failing.
Face. Like, both halves of it are delicious. So this was a wonderful episode to bring to our table. Gorgeous presentation. Sarah.
My notes read, towards the end, right before the final meeting of the minds, hilariously, I am already invested and an expert after only 50 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you want from a reality show, especially a finale that is coming into the canon. And also, I mean, this presentation was gorgeous, like just beyond hirsute Renfield alone. Like, obviously, I'm voting this in, but more to the point that Sam just has to stand there and eat his own sexism and assumptions. And when she's like, you got brought me in here because I'm a sharer. And I was like, oh, she's going to fucking do it. Fuck it. And then my notes from there are like, just F-bombs. And then yay, Camille. And then I drew like fireworks. And then after that, he still won't shut the fuck up. And it really was like, this episode is such an excellent microcosm of what makes The Traitors in all its international iterations so compelling and satisfying, that you have every sort of trope of social game advancement here, and especially Sam, who was that like Johnny Bananas type that people just let take root like a weed. because they're like, oh, we'll get him out later because everybody hates him. Mm-hmm. And then his roots have dug into like the mantle of the earth and he's impossible to get out.
I'm sure that's what everyone thought at Saturday Night Live too about Colin Jost. And
yeah, exactly. He's still there. He's very Tony from Survivor where you're like, why is he still here? Wait, he's going to win again? Like, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, or Russell, that it's like, this is unpleasant to spend time with. How are you still letting him eat the production's food? Like, get rid. But that's the thinking. It's like, well, everyone else despises him also. And the next thing you know, there you are at tribal council or at the final tribal. Anyway, this was so satisfying. And just realizing that, like, I don't think it really did occur to Sam, nor should it have because of these other fucking boneheads who let him get to the end. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, she actually did it. She actually screwed herself over so that she could screw me over. And I was like, oh my God, like, do you not understand how pettiness works?
Yeah.
And also, this is the best TV.
Yes.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love this episode. I love this presentation.
I forgot to say that she also does this in what appear to be a pair of packed airport joggers. Like, she looks like she's even in comfy pants. And it's like, from top to bottom, like, there's no wrong decisions made on this night. Great job, Camille. Okay. Dave.
Yeah. She was some sort of military or law enforcement person, right?
Federal investigator, I think she kept referring to herself as. Yeah.
Yeah. So like their FBI, I assumed. Yeah.
She comports herself in that way. So when it actually comes time for her to put the hammer down, it is in such a sort of like exit interview sort of manner that makes it like all the better, because it's like, I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm not going to start spitting and all that. Like, it's very sort of like, well, you fucked up and now I'm going to tell you how you fucked up. And after this, we're going to get out the banker box and we'll be going home. It had that tone to it, which makes it like, oh, you fucked up. Mom's mad kind of thing going on here. As I want to say, whenever a reality show thing comes up in the canon, not a big reality show guy. So when something hits for me, you know, it has to be insanely special. There are some high water marks. The Australian Survivor
that Richard previously pitched,
that Richard did last time, definitely up there. What this reminded me more of was the end of an episode of Survivor Australia, not Australian Survivor, season 2 of regular Survivor, where Mitchell gets blindsided on the way, on the walk to tribal council.
Yeah.
This episode is like that if Mitchell then was allowed to take a shit in the rice pot. So if you think about it in that terms, if you would like to have seen Mitchell take a shit in the rice pot just to be, you know, petty about the whole thing, then this episode is for you.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. I enjoyed it very much. All right. Shall we put this to the official vote?
Yes.
All right. Tara Ariano, what say you?
I also loved discovering that they had to let the show, this franchise, lie fallow for a few years. It's not, this was like 2023, right, Richard? Or 22?
Yeah, it was a little while ago.
So there isn't going to be a season 3 until like next year, because I think probably people were like so blown away by this one that they had to like take a knee. Anyway, yes, obviously. Great presentation.
All right. Sarah, can you give your vote in under 45
seconds? All right.
Jesus Christ. Yes, I can. And yes, it should go in the canon.
All right. Me too. So. The Traitors, Australia. What do they do? Seasons or series over there? Nobody knows. It's probably something crazy like Troublemakers. Episode 9. You are hereby inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
By the way, speaking about Australia, I still didn't get my report card on the Australian City Pronunciation Challenge the Extra Extra Hot Great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know who you are. It is time to discover the winner and loser of the week. Sarah has this week's winner.
Brisbane! Just kidding. It's Ballard, member of the Boshverse, and it has been renewed for season 2 at Prime Video. This was actually kind of a longer delay than Bosh fans were used to. They generally like renewed it for the next thing when the first one dropped on Amazon, but better late than never. I think it's not as good as the parent show, but it's pretty good, and I'm glad it'll be back.
And loser of the week, please.
Loser of the week is anyone, I guess, who buys the 4K makeover that Beverly Hills 90210 just got for its 35th anniversary, which I guess if that's the math, we missed our bookiversary. Our book is also 5 years old now. Go buy it. A very special 90210 book. Anyway, So I guess it looks better, but there's no indication. And I got a press release about this before they wrote it up on, oh no, they didn't, which is where I got this from. But like nothing in it says they've replaced any of the original music. Like as far as this indicates, it's still all the same like bad sub music that you get on the DVDs. It just looks nicer. And there's also no word of whether this version is going to stream in its entirety, because apparently in the later seasons, there's so many episodes missing from Paramount Plus because of music rights that like there's no point trying to watch along, which with Jenny and Tori's podcast, 90210MG, which by the way, you should just pay us $5 and we'll recap it for you. But anyway, this sounds like a huge waste of money. If you already have the DVDs, it seems like you're fine. And the efforts to restore all of the original music still have not come to fruition. So maybe for the 40th anniversary.
Well, speaking about not coming to fruition, do you know what time it is?
It's good.
Okay, time.
Game time. It's game time.
All right, everybody, it is game time. This is the seventh of the current season. Our scores are, buckle in, because we got fractions, Tara with 2.5 points, Sarah with 1.5 points, value guests with 2. Today, we are playing 30 Under 30 from Mike Seifert, who earns himself an extra credit topic of his choosing, plus a free shirt from the EHG store that is available at throughmethods.com. Mike writes, I have a list of 30 actors. For each one, your goal is to name a TV series in which that actor has appeared in under 30 episodes. For each actor, all three players will name, in turn, a show they think fits that bill. Everyone has to name a different show. We'll rotate who's first. That'll be our pecking order. Best answer, meaning the show for which the actor has the most IMDb credits without going over 30 credits, is always worth 5 points.
Oh,
and then there's buckets as we go down. We got answers that are worth 3 or 2 or 1. I won't bother with the buckets right now, but trust me, I have them all ready to go. These are Price is Right rules. So if you go over, no points. If the show only has 1 credit, that also doesn't count. We're not talking about miniseries, only shows, no voice acting. So live action appearances.
Okay.
All right. This is a very recently created game, so all these numbers are still accurate. Here's an example for you guys. Jared Harris. The 5-point answer for Jared Harris would be Foundation, for which he has 29 credits right up against the line. That would get you 5 points. That is the show that he's been in the most, but still under 30.
Right.
The Terror, he's only been in 10 times. That would get you 2 points. The Crown, 6 times. That would get you 1 point. You would get no points for answering Mad Men because he's over 30 on that one. No points for Chernobyl because that's a miniseries.
Got it. Miniseries.
All right. Well, let's throw it to Picky to see who is going first.
We will start with Tara.
All right. So we're going to go Tara, Sarah, and then Richard. This is basically who is picking a show first in each round. Right. This is called 30 Under 30. I'm not sure how long this is going to take, so we may cut it at 15 and play the second part next week. Let's see how it goes. But are we ready to try 30 Under 30 now?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. We are starting with Tara. You will go first. But Sarah, you're going to go after Tara. And then Richard, you're going to go after Sarah. Our first actor is Ted Danson.
How did I know? I almost said it out loud.
What is the show that he has been in the most episodes, yet still under 30 episodes is the challenge.
Okay.
I have all of it laid out in the chart. So you'll get either 5, 3, 2, or 1, or maybe 0 points.
Okay. I have a guess, and this is risky because I think this might be 30 exactly, but I'm going to say it anyway. Bored to Death?
Bored to Death is our 5-point answer.
Woo!
Only 24 nice. Episodes, though.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. On to Sarah. What is your guess for Ted Danson?
Fargo.
Fargo is in our 2-point bucket. That is between 10 and 19 episodes. He was in 10 episodes of Fargo. Richard.
I'm taking a chance here. I think I'm going to beep out, but Damages?
Damages. Good answer. Oh, yeah. That is our 3-point bucket.
Woo!
That is something in the 20s. And he was in 23 episodes of that.
Just for my own curiosity, is he over 30 for Career Enthusiasm?
34.
Ah!
No points.
All right.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Sarah will guess first for Jean Smart. Jean Smart.
Oh, yeah.
Her. A show she's been in, but under 30 episodes.
Under 30 episodes. Mm-hmm.
she says, doing some maths. I'm going to guess Fargo again.
Fargo is good, but only 1 point. That is in the single digit bucket.
Oh, yeah.
Nine episodes.
Okay.
To Richard.
This is probably dumb, but 24.
24 is our 5 point answer.
Woo! Oh, wow.
25 so episodes of 24.
Cutting it close.
Wow.
All right, Tara.
Mayor of Easttown.
Mayor of Easttown is good for only 1.7 episodes.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right, now it's Richard's turn to go first for Margot Martindale. Going to let you in on a little secret on the spreadsheet. There are no 3 point answers.
Oh, and no voice performances. So don't say the Chicken Sisters, Richard, yeah. Even though I know you're a huge fan.
Or BoJack Horseman.
Well, I mean, I'm a fan of everything I write, Tara, but thank you. No, I actually have a friend who writes for that. It's a good show.
I love it.
Tara loves the Chicken Sisters.
I sincerely love it. Tell your friend they're a genius. Yeah,
I will. I'm going to play it safe and just say Justified.
Justified is our 2 point bucket answer.
All right.
10 episodes. To Tara.
Oh, it's down. It's one. I'm going to risk it. The Good Wife.
The Good Wife is a 2 point answer, 13 episodes.
Okay, I'll take it.
Our 5 point answer is still on the board, Sarah. If you get it, I'm going to give you an extra 5 points because there's no way you're getting it. I shouldn't say that, but
I'm going to guess you're not going to get it.
Prove it wrong.
Prove me wrong.
Well, if I can just pull the name, I just feel like I was the only person that even watched it. Sneaky Pete.
Sneaky Pete is our 30 episode answer for 0 points.
Oh, no.
I'm just so glad I pulled it and didn't have to list a bunch of actors and then still not pull it, which is usually what happens.
Any other guesses for our 5 point answer? 20 episodes of this.
It's What's not that the good maple fight.
Syrup show?
Oh, it's not the Sticky.
That was only six or eight, I think.
Sticky, yeah, that was
that
six
was
episodes.
That was a miniseries.
It is a show we watched, Tara.
Oh.
Yeah, long time ago.
The Riches.
The Riches, yes, The Riches.
Was it seriously?
Yeah, 20 episodes of The
Riches. Oh,
wow. All right.
Wow.
All right, Tara.
Yeah.
Natalie Morales.
Natalie Morales. Parks and Recreation, I guess.
Parks and Rec is a 2 point answer. Okay. She was in 11 episodes of that.
Okay.
Sarah D. Bunting.
I don't know who Natalie Morales is, so okay. Benson.
She was not in Benson.
She was in 100 episodes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Richard. Natalie Morales.
Does an upcoming show count?
No.
The show where she's a bartender, but I don't know the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
The show where she's a bartender.
Yeah, it was a sitcom a couple years ago. Geez, I might have to kind of pull a Sarah here and just kind of guess something or just name a random show. Is she on, what is it called? The Kate Hudson show, Playing the Game or whatever.
Oh. Running Time something like that?
Sure. Running I don't point. Know. Winning Time.
Winning. No.
No.
Running Point.
Running Point.
Magic Johnson.
We're going to allow that guess.
Was it The Middleman?
Yeah, The Middleman is a show that she was in for 2 points. She was in 12 episodes of that. So nobody guessed the number one 5 point show, Trophy Wife, 22 episodes.
Trophy Wife, was the friend.
One episode less for The Grinder. We also had a lot of shows in the 2 and 1 point buckets, Grey's Anatomy, The Middleman, White Collar, Parks and Rec, Santa Clarita Diet. And she was also in 5 episodes of 90210, the reboot.
The CW one.
2 episodes of The Newsroom, Tara.
Yeah.
Oh,
favorite show.
4 episodes of The Morning Show I'm seeing here. So she really ran the gamut.
All right. Sarah, you're going to start us off with Stephen Tobolowsky.
Oh, God. Good luck. To us all.
So I'm going to let you know there are 2 5-point answers because he's been in 2 different shows for the same number of episodes. There are no 3-point answers.
One Day at a Time reboot.
One Day at a Time. 46 episodes.
Don't think I knew it had 46 episodes.
All right. To Richard, Stephen Tobolowsky.
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm just going to go. He seems like someone who would be on a David E. Kelly show. So Boston Public.
Public. He's in so many 1 point answers here. I actually have to scan down Boston Public. No, I'm seeing some cities, but I'm not seeing Boston Public. All right.
I know he was in more than one episode, I think, of New Adventures of Old Christine.
New Adventures of Old Christine is good for 1 point, squeaking in with two episodes.
Wow. Woo!
Good job.
Wow, that was the low score. Okay, Deadwood, 9. That's also...
Oh, Deadwood, sure. Deadwood,
duh, Buck.
Let's see what else. He was in the Mindy Project. Two episodes of SVU, Sarah.
Sure.
He was in 11 episodes of Heroes. Wow. 10 episodes of something called Dweebs.
Mm-mm.
And then our 5-point our 5-point answers were Mr. Rhodes and Silicon Valley.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Let's go back to Richard to start off with Dylan Baker. Dylan Baker.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay, I'm Law and Order.
Law and Order, Original Rays.
Original Rays.
Original Rays is good for 1 point, in which he was in 7 episodes, playing, I'm going to guess, 7 different characters.
Mm-hmm.
All right, two Tara.
The Americans?
The Americans is worth 2 points. He was in 13 episodes of The Americans. Our 5-point answer is still on the board, Sarah.
The Good Wife.
The Good Wife. 2 episodes as a 1-point answer.
I'll take it.
Big jump from the 2-point bucket. No 3-point answers. So we go from Kings, The Americans, Hunters, and Damages. Those are 2-point answers.
Oh, yeah, Damages.
Skip to 5 points. I thought Sarah might get this one because it is Murder 1.
Mm.
Murder 1.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, Tatara.
Yeah.
C.C.H. Pounder.
That's a tough one because she works a lot and it's not The Shield because she was a series regular, I'm pretty sure. But that was a cable show, so it might still be under 30. I guess I'll say The Shield.
Not even close. 88 episodes.
How many?
88.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit.
Sarah, your best guess for CCH Pounder.
ER.
ER. Good guess. That is a 3-point answer. Ooh. 24 episodes. There is one show that's less than 30, but more than 24. Can Richard name it? CCH Pounder.
I am just going to guess The Closer.
The Closer.
Ooh.
Is not on this list.
Seems like the kind of thing that would be, though.
Yeah. I had to double check there. All right. NCIS New Orleans, 155. That's her most shows.
Wow.
Let's see. What do we got here?
That many episodes? Holy
4
shit.
Episodes of Cop Rock.
No.
Oh, right. Cop Rock.
13 or 14 episodes of Sons of Anarchy, Brother, Women in Prison. ER was our second best answer. Best answer, Warehouse 13, 29 episodes.
Sure.
Sarah D. Bunting, start us off with Sarah Paulson. Sarah Paulson. Answers in every bucket.
Sarah Paulson.
Two bits.
Sarah Paulson. No, it doesn't work.
Whenever anybody mentions Sarah Paulson, Roger Rabbit's in the background going fucking crazy.
I am just going to hope. Well, yeah, American Horror Story.
American Horror Story.
Too many?
Way too many. 95 episodes.
Yeah. Damn.
Oh, shit.
Okay. All right, so we're to Richard. Sarah Paulson is your actor.
I'm taking a flyer. I think I know she was on one of the old WB shows, so I'm going to say Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill, 33 episodes. Heartbreaker.
That had 33 episodes?
Seriously, gorgeous. I never would have guessed that.
To pull Jack and Jill and not get points on it, that's sad. All right.
That's rough. Yeah.
Tara, no points yet for this one.
Yeah, the first two that I thought of are both a limited series, so I'm going to have to say my backup, which was Law and Order Original.
A Law and Order Original. Nope.
Damn.
No points for Sarah Paulson.
Wow.
Deadwood. She was in Deadwood.
Right.
Cupid, The Bear, a couple episodes.
Oh, yeah.
American Gothic, 18 episodes. American Crime Story, Sarah, 20 episodes. So you're close.
Oh,
or you're
right.
One word off for points. And our 5-point answer, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, 22 episodes.
Oh, I almost said that. Glad that worked out for someone.
Woof.
All right, this will take us to a score break. Richard will be leading us off with Walton Goggins. Walton Goggins. Episodes under 30 is what we're after. There are no answers in the 3-point bucket. Nothing between 20 and 29 episodes that isn't the number one answer.
I'm just going to go for a safe 8 or something, The White Lotus.
The White Lotus is 8 episodes. Yep, that is worth 1 point. Two Tara.
Vice Principals.
That is good for 2 points, 18 episodes. Seems low.
Yeah, well, it's only 2 seasons.
Yep. Number one answer is still on the board, Sarah.
Well, I know that's not it, but I'm still going to take it. Beverly Hills 90210. Come on.
Yeah.
We know.
Not on the list, so I'm going to assume it's a one point. It's a one episode.
Yes.
Appearance.
He plays young Joe Itata.
Too many for the Shield, Justified, or the Unicorn.
Right.
Unicorn slipping in at 31.
Crazy. But Fallout is still safe, right? Because season two hasn't fallen out yet.
Our number one answer, The Righteous Gemstones, 24 episodes.
Oh, right. I thought that was too high.
Me too.
All right. We're halfway done. Let's hear the scores.
Okay. Sarah Demunting has 7. Richard has 12. I have 15.
All right. Let's get back to it. Tara, you're going to be leading us off with Judy Greer.
Reboot.
Reboot is good for 1.8 episodes. You're talking about the recent reboot Hulu show.
Talking about the show that was called Reboot on Hulu.
Not the Canadian CG cartoon reboot.
No.
Which is a shame.
That's one of the crimes they're investigating on Law & Order Toronto: Criminal Intent.
Sarah Demunting. Yes, a murder at the Noel Vanna studio offices. All right. Judy Greer.
Don't know. Like, I can picture her like in a scene, and then I can't fill in anything else around it. So maybe she was in some episodes of Relativity.
Relativity.
Could have been.
Nope.
Richard.
Wasn't.
Arrested Development.
Arrested Development is good for 2 points. 13 episodes of Arrested Development. Glasses on, glasses off.
Yeah. How many for Stick? Couldn't remember
Stick.
If that was
5 episodes. That would have gotten 1 point.
Okay, good.
What was her show that she was the lead of? Miss Something?
Yes, Misguided.
Right.
Yes. 7 episodes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, geez. Sorry, Judy.
A lot in the 1 point bucket. Our 2 point answers were Arrested Development, Love and Money, 2.5 Men, 3 points for Kidding.
Oh, yeah.
And 5 points. Anybody want to guess? Married. A show called Married.
Oh, yeah. Paul Reiser.
All right.
Go. All right, Sarah D. Bunting, start us off with Justin Theroux.
Justin Theroux. I mean, it just can't be. And yet, I guess it has to be. The Leftovers. Let's try it.
5 point answer.
Nice.
That is our number one answer. Great. 28 episodes.
Woo!
All right, Richard, number one answer is off the board.
Wasn't he on 6 Feet Under?
6 Feet Under is good for 1.8 episodes
nice
of that show.
Pull.
Tara?
Well, he was in Running Point.
He was in Running Point, and that was 7 episodes, so you also get 1 point.
Great.
2 points if you guess The Mosquito Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
27 episodes of The District would have got you 3 points. All right, Richard, start us off with Olivia Colman.
Heartstopper.
Heartstopper is good for 2 points, 10 episodes, just squeaking into the 2 point bucket. Tara.
Look Around You.
Look Around You is good for 1 point. She was only in one season of that, so it's only 6 episodes.
A peep show, I'm sure, is too many.
All right.
Perhaps. Maybe.
Giving away possible free information for Sarah, who will close us off on Olivia Colman.
I'd like to try to thread the needle with Broadchurch, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say The Crown.
Should have went Broadchurch. That was our number one answer, but The Crown will get you 3 points.
Nice.
21 episodes of The Crown, 24 episodes of Broadchurch.
Oh.
Lots of shows here. Rev, Green Wing, Mitchell and Webb Look, Beautiful People, Flowers,
Fleabag,
2012, Fleabag, Night Manager.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
3 episodes of The Bear. All right, Tara, start us off with Connie Britton.
No.
Yes.
I don't want to.
Yes.
911.
911 will get you 2 points, 12 episodes.
Right.
Sarah.
Shit. The West Wing.
West Wing is good for 1 point, 4 episodes. All right, Richard, the number one answer is still on the board. 5 points.
Oh, boy. She was on a show like this, so I'm just going to say The District.
The District is not on our list.
Some like procedural back in the day. But.
She was in way too many episodes of Spin City, Nashville, and Friday Night Lights.
Right.
1 point answers such as Smilf.
Oh, yeah, Smilf.
White Lotus.
Oh. Right.
Ellen, American Crime Story.
Right.
Those are all 1 point answers. 2 points, we got 911, already guessed. Dear Edward, everybody's favorite show.
Wow.
Our number one answer with only 13 episodes, American Horror Story.
Right, season one.
All right, Donald Logue, Sarah Debunting is our next.
This is where it should start.
Here
with Sarah,
we
his
go.
Number one fan.
No 3-point answers. Our number one answer is in the 3-point bucket. Otherwise, something in the 20s.
I don't know how long this lasted, and I should because I was the only one who watched every episode, including people who were on it. So let's cross our fingers and hope that it was canceled in a timely fashion. Knights of Prosperity.
Knights of Prosperity. Good guess. 2 points.
Nice.
13 episodes. To Richard.
Was he on Terriers?
He was on Terriers. Shout out C. Kent.
Sure was.
C. Kent's favorite show, Terriers. Number one Terriers fan in the world.
Uh-huh.
C. Kent. Also 13 episodes.
So same 2 points?
2 points. Number one answer still on the board, Tara.
Yeah, I know he was in SVU for a while, so let's say that.
SVU, only a 1-point answer with 9 episodes.
Okay.
All right, Grounded for Life in Gotham off the board, because almost 191 episodes there.
Yep.
Tons of 1-point answers here. Stumptown, Royal Pains, What We Do in the Shadows. Mm-hmm. Vikings, he was in Vikings for a bit.
Oh,
he got the, what was it called? The Blood Eagle, end for him there.
Sure.
Number one answer, 21 episodes of Life.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Title that would just melt out of your brain as soon as that show ended.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Richard, start us off with Jane Lynch. Jane Lynch.
Oh, God. Jane Lynch.
So many 1-point answers here. Holy moly.
I'm going to say Becker.
Becker. Becker.
Why not?
Was she in Becker? Looks like she wasn't in Becker.
But it seems like she would. I see what
absolutely
you're
seems like she could have been in Becker. All right, so we're moving on to Tara.
I mean, I hope she did this in more than one episode. She was a therapist on Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men is good for 2 points.
Okay.
She was in 14 episodes of that show.
No, okay. Yep. Sarah, don't say Dawson's Creek. She was only in one.
I wasn't going to. I was going to say Only Murders in the Building.
Only Murders in the Building is also a 2-point answer.
Nice.
10 episodes. All right, so obviously Glee off the table, 121 episodes.
Yeah.
Notable 1 points, The Good Fight, Seventh Heaven, Boston Legal, Space Force, Judging Amy, Tween Fest. What the fuck is that?
Sounds like something you get on a list if you watch it.
I told them not to air that show.
New Adventures of Old Christine, Tara, The West Wing. All right, 2-point answers. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Mm-hmm.
Angel from Hell.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Criminal Minds.
Uh-huh.
Three possible 5-point answers,
At
15 episodes.
Okay.
Easy to Assemble.
Nope.
I've always said that about Jane Lynch. The L Word. And Party Down. 15
Party
episodes.
Down. Oh, damn it.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Tara, start us off with Toby Huss.
Oh, my God.
As you would guess, tons of 1-point answers here.
Yeah.
Not a lot in the other buckets.
Did he do few enough of this? I'm just going to take a shot. Halt and Catch Fire.
Halt and Catch Fire. Looking, looking, looking. Why don't I see it? Halt and Catch Fire. 40 episodes. 10 too many. No points. All right, Sarah. Toby Huss. The Huss.
The Hustler.
The Hustler. Huss Avocado.
The Lost Huss, now streaming on Apple TV Plus.
I mean, I'm tempted to just, I feel like I remember him on X show, but I'm not totally sure. So I guess I have to just hold my nose and say Chad Powers.
Chad Powers.
I think he's in 3, but 2 of them may not have aired yet.
Yeah, that is correct. So 1-point answer at this moment in time. No points.
Okay.
Richard, 5-point answer is still on the board. There's also 3-point answer.
I'm just going to, when in doubt, Law and Order?
Law and Order.
Gotta be one in there, right? No?
Nope.
Damn
no
it.
Law and Order.
How many glows did he do?
Glow. Oh, right. Let's see. Glow. 4 for Glow. That would have gotten you 1 point. Let's see. Highlights here. Oh, Tara, your favorite show, Bookie.
Oh, great. Really? I don't remember him in that even once. Never mind more than once.
Your other favorite show, Brockmire.
Oh, sure.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, 2 episodes. Whole bunch of 2. Mm. News Radio, 3 episodes. Playing the security guard downstairs with Tone Loc.
It's right. Yeah.
He was in 2 episodes of The Riches.
Okay, what's his number one?
All right, hang on.
All right, sorry.
Boy, oh boy. Pushy. Reno 911, 19 episodes. That would have got you 2 points. Carnival is our 3-point answer at 24.
Oh, okay.
29 episodes of Dickinson was our first.
Dickinson, damn it.
Best answer.
I was going to guess Mindhunter because he just has that look.
He like, really does.
That, but...
All right, Sarah, you can start us off with Clancy Brown. Going down to Browntown. Clancy Brown.
Okay. Nope. Fired.
Going to Clancy Town with Clancy Brown. I'm going to edit out that first part. It's going to make no sense.
Okay. Oh, boy. Clancy Brown.
I can let you know that he's been in nothing over 30 times on TV.
I feel like my brain is just emptying of the things that I know. Like, again, here we are. I can picture him, like, in the scene, but then everyone else in it. It's like that Black Mirror episode where the things are just pixelated.
Sure is shooting. Sarah's got scene blindness.
Yeah, it's true. I do. Stalling, still tip-top, sharp as a tack. Let's try Castle Rock.
Castle Rock. Is that just a guess on his face?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
I assume.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
To Richard, Clancy Brown.
Tween Force. he was on Deadwood?
Deadwood. He? No, he was not on Deadwood.
What? That seems like he
should have been. Yeah, he's got a face for it. Absolutely. All right, no points so far. So obviously, 5-point answer still on the board, Tara.
Good cop, bad cop.
Good cop, bad cop. Only 8 episodes, mm-hmm. So only 1 point there.
Okay.
Anybody want to take a second guess just for shits and giggles?
Gen V, but I know it wasn't more
was
than
he
8.
Is he on Fargo?
He was not on Fargo. Gen V, only 2 episodes.
Fringe?
Fringe. No, not Fringe. Notable shows here. ER, 7 episodes.
Oh.
Sleepy Hollow, 6 episodes, Sarah.
Oh, fuck.
17 episodes of Billions.
Uh-huh.
3-point answer for 21 episodes of Earth 2.
Whoa.
Number one answer, mention, Carnival, 24 episodes.
I almost said that. That was the first thing I
bitch.
Thought.
God damn it.
And right. I forgot it immediately.
Almost at the end of the game. Okay. We got 4 questions left. We'll do a little score break after this one.
Okay.
Richard, lead us off with Gary Cole. Gary Cole. Name a show that he's been in under 30 times.
Entourage.
Entourage will get you 2 points. He was in 12 episodes of Entourage.
Wow, nice.
All right, Tara.
The Good Fight.
The Good Fight is our number one answer worth 5 points. He was in 24 episodes of The Good Fight.
Okay.
There's a couple shows in the 3-point bucket still, Sarah D. Bunting. And they are both right behind The Good Fight's numbers.
Don't know how often he was in this television program, so let's hope he was not in every episode of Veep.
Veep. 55.
I wasn't sure about that either.
Wabs.
Good Wife, 14.
Right.
Oh.
Our 3-point answers left on the board were American Gothic, 22 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Also, 22 episodes for The West Wing.
Mm.
West Wing.
Oh, yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
3 questions left. Let's get scores.
Okay. It's pretty close. Sarah has 20. Richard has 21. Ooh. I have 29.
All right. Let's get back to it. Tara, you're going to lead us off with Ann Dowd.
Okay. Sure. Was she in 30 episodes of this? Probably. Leftovers.
That is our 5-point answer. 21 episodes. We've got 1 in the 3-point bucket, 1 in the 2-point bucket, and a bunch in the 1-point bucket. Sarah. Endowed.
Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale is good for 0 points.
That's the one I was thinking.
50 episodes
probably
of
over.
The Handmaid's
oh,
Tale.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. She loves putting women under her thumb.
She survived right until the series finale, too, amazingly.
All right. Richard, Endowed.
Law and Order SVU.
Law and Order SVU is good for 1 point. She was in 3 episodes of that. 4 episodes of Original Ray's Pizza.
Yeah.
Also, 2 episodes of Freaks and Geeks. Good Behavior.
Oh, yeah, with Michelle Dockery.
It was a 2-point answer. Nothing Sacred was her 3-point answer.
Oh, okay.
Huh. All right, Sarah, start us off with Giancarlo Esposito.
I hope he sneaks under. Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad. Bye-bye, answer!
Hey!
Me. All right, Richard, 5-point answer is off the board. We got 2 shows worth 3 points, a whole bunch of shows worth 2 points, and a mess of shows worth 1 point.
Sorry, what did Sarah say?
Sarah said Breaking Bad.
Okay. Oh God, I'm drawing a complete blank here. He is on a
show?
That is, I don't know.
The Follow-Ups.
Silo. I don't know.
Silo. He played the Silo, but it was uncredited. Sorry.
He's implied on the show.
He's standing very still. All right. No points for Richard there. So we are back to Tara.
The Boys?
The Boys is good for the number of points. That is 2. 11 episodes of The Boys.
Great.
Too many episodes for Better Call Saul. Right. 38. A whole, he was in The Mandalorian for 9. Sesame Street for 9.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
All. Grape.
Grape. Looking. The Dollar Stein Treat. 12 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Sure.
Nope.
The Street?
Yeah.
No, don't remember that? That
was The Street, yes.
Dollar Stein Treat.
Yes.
Homicide, Life on the Street, 22 episodes. Godfather of Harlem, 21 episodes. So those are your 3-point bucket answers.
Okay.
All right. Starting off with Richard. John Carroll Lynch is your actor. John Carroll Lynch. This is a real range of shows.
I want Mindhunters. Was he on that?
Mindhunters. Does look like not.
Plays a serial killer in something.
He's in Zodiac.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
I don't know if he was in 30 episodes of this, but I'm going to take a shot anyway. The Drew Carey Show.
He was in 30 episodes plus 44 more.
Wow. That's a lot.
All right, Sarah. Best answer is still on the board, but I got to be honest with you. I've never heard of it.
Okay.
But he's in 29 episodes of it.
Okay.
You may have heard of it. The title sounds like a Sarah show.
Mm. No Raisins Allowed.
What?
Colon, Criminal Intent.
Criminal Intent?
My actual answer is...
Yeah, okay.
I just don't have an actual answer, so let's go with Law & Order Original Rays.
Law & Order Original Rays is worth the following number of points. 0.
He was in American Horror Story, but I don't know if it was more than...
18 episodes.
Okay.
That would have gotten 2 points.
Right.
Sarah DeBunting, for 1 point, you could have said your favorite show ever. Turn Washington Spies.
Oh, wow.
12 episodes of Carnival is back. You guys should be guessed. 10 episodes of Ballard.
Oh, that's where I remember him from recently.
29 episodes. Number one answer, Body of Proof.
Oh.
Isn't that a Madonna movie?
Body of Evidence is Madonna. Oh,
okay.
Dana Delaney, right?
Yes, Dana Delaney is Body of Proof.
All right. We're actually going to cut this one. We will divide this in two and play the second in the future. So that is regulation. I need those scores.
Okay. Richard finished with 22. Sarah had 25. I had 36.
Ooh, all right. Nicely done. Well played. Great format. I really enjoyed this one a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we have enough to play it again. He did some extras, so I'll cull through those, see if we can get another 21 game going here.
Sweet.
All right. Today belongs to Tara.
Tara.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for that again. Well, that's it for another episode of Extra Hot Crate.
I hope you enjoyed
this episode, Sarah DeBunting. We talked about Monster. Before going around the dial, the stops at Law & Order in Toronto, Only Connect, and Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
I like the one where they turned into Vulcans.
The Traitors Australia got into the canon. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Tara was the winner of this week's Game Time from Mike. Next up on Extra Extra Hot Rate, it's Boots. Remember.
We're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariano.
I did wonder when I came here what I'd do to win, and it turns out dig through cow shit.
Sarah D. Bunting.
I am a faithful and a dumb one.
And Richard Lawson.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm glad you can make it. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time, right here, on Extra Hot Great.
Guys, stop it.
Does it taste like feet?
So vile.
So wrong.